And to be clear, reimbursement for fields is not 50%, right?
Correct. We will craft it to maximize it. I believe it's safer to call it 45. I think there's still two incentives out of the three that we would be going after.
All set.
There's some other.
Yes. Councilman Cawley.
Seems like it's topsy-turvy Monday. We're trying to give Mr. Ferrucci some money. He's saying no. And then in May, we're going to be beating him up, saying you can't get the money that you need for the budget. But that's the day we are. I've been listening. I don't feel like my back's to the wall. I feel like the wind is behind me, pushing me forward. I think if I turn my back on the decision of trying to get money from the state where we can get 50% payback in order to do something positive for the kids in Warwick, the student athletes, their parents and their grandparents, then I would be doing a disservice to my constituents. I made my mind a long time ago. I knew I was for this. I have no idea how we're going to discuss a school, but all we're saying is that we're going to ask the voters to give us the opportunity to have this money to spend it on behalf of the kids and on behalf of improving Warwick. We are not making a decision to sign a check or set an amount tonight. We are simply asking for the flexibility. We have heard what the schools have said. I know that there was a $79 million request. They cut it back to 56. I think that the people on the council have made their statements concerning whether it makes sense to add the artificial fields. I happen to agree with that. And if we were to make it up to the figure if it was 56 and 10 million, I think that's 66 million. Whatever the number is up to is simply giving us the ability to have a cushion, and we don't make the decision. I trust the voters. If they like this idea, they'll vote for it. If they don't, they won't.
Thank you. Council President, I believe you wanted to say something.
I just was listening to a few Councilman Sinapi's comments, and I always like to try and focus on the positive, too, because we're stuck here on what direction we're trying to go in. I think we're all in agreement that we want to build these fields, that it would bring in revenue, it would maybe prevent kids from leaving in the Pathways program. It could give us up to a 52% reimbursement from the state of Rhode Island, depending on how we phrase the language. So the real question is, procedurally, how do we get there? And I listened to Councilman McAllister's comments, too, about, well, do we have the exact number? What's interesting is that if everything goes along as planned, and I know that Mr. Ferrucci, we met recently with Councilman, it wasn't Councilman McAllister, I'm getting old, Councilman Sinapi, and we discussed last week what the amounts were and how soon that study would come out for you to help everybody make a decision. And at that time you told me May. So in the course of 4 or 5 days, maybe it's moved to April. And I was just going to ask Attorney Conley, if you could come to the mic. In one of your other professions, I believe, sir, you are on the Senate Finance Committee.
Yes, sir.
And you're the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Procedurally, to help this council, statistically, when do we need to get resolution up to the General Assembly for it to, quote-unquote, have a fair shake of passing?
My recommendation would be that you certainly get it there by May. We're there through June, but I would suggest that the earlier the better, and to get it to the General Assembly in May would be more prudent than waiting to June.
One of our issues is obviously when that report is going to get done. So that's a huge concern to me. And I would just follow up by saying paraphrasing what Mr. Ferrucci said, which is for the Phase 3 bond, that would be contingent upon riot approval. Nothing would change if you bifurcate this additional money that we give you for Fields. That too would be contingent on ride approval. And overall, those funds can be determined on how they're spent, just as Councilman Ricks had said a moment ago, and I had said too with regard to the Station Nights Club fire and how we had to spend it on fire apparatus and doors, etc., that too can be changed by the school committee. So whether we wait till May, which I get nervous about doing, and make that contingent upon ride approval, because we're all talking about, oh, we're going to have exact numbers, estimates, those are all going to be subject to ride approval and ride reimbursement. As we heard before, we start off with the premise that we get 35%. We can go up to 52%. Those are things that we cannot control. So my suggestion is that we put that money in there. And if we're lucky enough to get through this procedure, and then we come back with a Phase 3, that then we can consider the totality of the circumstances, including that we had put money in Fields, and allow RIDE to make those decisions regarding reimbursement, and then ultimately bring it back to the council, because we have to authorize the expenditure of that money. So as Councilman Lattisaw said, this just begins the process of how this money is going to be spent. It's not a final decision on how it's going to be spent. My concern is, as wonderful as the school department is, you get hung up on reports, you get hung up on decisions, and we can't get what we need to the General Assembly in time, and we lose out on that funding, and it's going rapidly to other communities. And I thank everybody for their time.
Thank you. Councilman Ricks. Councilman Ricks, you're not going to make a motion right now, are you?
No.
Okay.
I'd like to just briefly address a couple of points raised by Councilwoman Donna Travis. So perhaps the first point is, I'll start with the quicker point first. So PCR 16-20, this resolution, while it doesn't specifically use the word field anywhere in here, it does deal with improvements, repairs that are outside of the school buildings themselves, because it includes the phrase schools and school facilities. And we're seeing in the approval itself, rather in the resolution itself, and the spreadsheet that we were provided, that it already deals with some items like paving of the school parking lots. So, you know, the school facility language, that has us covered, so it's not like we're adding, some new category here entirely. The second item that, you know, I hear and I understand, you know, the difficulty and the magnitude of this decision. I would also say that there's a big difference, or there can be. Hopefully, there usually isn't, but there can be a huge difference between what's accurate and what's precise. So, for example, I'll just take a couple of examples. Paving over at Holloman, we have here on the sheet, really it's an estimate of $731,500. Is it going to end up being that amount? I really don't know. There's some methodology behind it. For all I know, it could top out at $650,000. It could end up being $800,000. Same thing, I'll take another item from a big big number over here. HVAC system over at Oakland Beach Elementary. It comes in, according to this sheet, $2,814,000 on the dime. Most of these numbers, they have it rounded to either the nearest $100 or nearest $1,000. I'm sure that there's a methodology out there where they could be more precise. I'm sure that, you know, however these precise estimates are, they come up with them, if they wanted to, it's all rounding to a certain extent, because the way that these are calculated, I'm sure that the initial draft, it goes down to the dollar or to the penny, but that would imply some false precision there, because nobody is going to actually stand up here at the mic and say, oh yes, that system is going to be $2,814,159.15. That would just, yeah. I'm just making that the rest of that number up, but nobody's going to stand here in front of us and say that they have it down to the penny, because when we're talking about precision, it's an estimate. And we hope that the numbers are accurate. We have reason to believe that the numbers are accurate. But at this stage, we're not looking for the precision that we would when we're going out for bid. And when we go out for bid, that's when we want those contracts to be stating the amounts down to the penny and not to exceed that amount. But as some of my colleagues have stated, really this is, especially just now with Councilman Corley, this is about giving ourselves the flexibility. And there's multiple stages here where we can rein this in if we're seeing this go in a direction that we're not liking. And there's not just us, but there are multiple safeguards along the way. The building committee, the school committee, ourselves, and the mayor. And really, if everybody isn't on board as we're going along, if the city council and mayor aren't authorizing to release the funds, if it doesn't even get that far because the building committee and school committee aren't coming to us with the bids and with, you know, their recommendations for the approvals, then we're not even going to get to that stage where it's even in front of us to even consider releasing. So really this is, as Councilman Corley said, about giving ourselves the flexibility. And I feel like if we don't grab this opportunity, I don't know what we're going to be doing in the future, looking at ourselves a couple of years from now and just kicking ourselves for not taking that chance to get that 50% reimbursement, or otherwise just letting a year or two slip by while we continue to bleed 200 students a year to these other systems and another dozen or another 15 on top every single year, losing $16,000 a student. And otherwise, beyond just the numbers of it, and the numbers make sense to me, that we can go ahead and approve this, let the voters decide, and then go from there in terms of getting the specific bids and all of that detailed, precise information that will be accurate, because it's the bidding process. But beyond just the numbers. Also, just letting it slip by a couple of more years where a couple of more classes pass through the high schools without these opportunities. I don't want to let that all slip by, the financial opportunity, as well as really the reason why I think we're all here, to do what's right by the students. And so I will yield my time to the chair, and I will be supporting a mechanism that gives us that, gives us all that type of flexibility to try to get something big done here. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. At this point, I would like to open it up for public comment. Any members of the public? I'm sorry, Brian, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment on Councilman Rick's latest comment. I agree, until we go out to bid, these are estimates, absolutely. Where I would differ, the figures on the page there, they were studied and analyzed by architects, provided they were voted on by the school building committee. They were then analyzed by the school committee, and now they're before you. Just tonight, when we started talking about the fields, it was a $7 million number. Fast forward a few hours later, we're at $10 million. That is, I don't know what, that's, I don't think we have accurate figures. That's, over the course of a few hours, we've gone from a seven, we started at seven, and now we're at 10. These are guesses at this point. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, Chairman, if I may, one quick, I completely understand where the finance director is coming from on this, and I certainly didn't mean to insult the process. I understand that there is a methodology behind all of this. I would also say that when it comes to actually getting this done after it's been approved by voters, knock on wood, we don't know exactly where the economy is going to be, if it's going to be a very tight construction market, if prices continue to rise, if there are, say, additional tariffs with China that impact the cost of materials. We don't know if suddenly the economy is going to take a slump and then costs come down. I don't mean to insult the numbers or the process here, certainly not. I'm just saying that inherently when we're looking out 6 months or a year into the future, nobody knows what the economy and prices are going to be in that period of time. And so it's very possible for some items to go up or down by 5 or 10%.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to take comments from members of the public, please. Step to the mic, speak directly into the mic, and just identify yourself for the record, if you would.
Tom Flanders. Teach at Warwick Vets Middle School, coach at Pilgrim High School soccer. First of all, I just want to commend everyone on the cooperation and the conversation about our schools. It's long overdue to have a school committee, a council, everyone working together. I've been teaching and coaching since 1993. I was a student at Pilgrim High School, graduated in 89. So I've been around for a while, and I don't know if I've ever seen conversations like this. I don't know if I've ever seen the city council try and give money to the school committee, and they're reluctant. So I applaud you all for that. But talking about the fields, my players are fast asleep. Hopefully they've done their homework in their home. And I feel the need to be here to speak about the fields, the situations that we see day in and day out. We need a plan. We need some type of plan, and it sounds like the council certainly is behind us getting what we need. When we look at the fields at, for instance, Pilgrim High School, where we play, our team is being promoted to Division I. We play against teams, most of the teams have turf fields, and they are used to a certain standard. And then when they come to our fields, there's comments. There's embarrassment for our players, there's safety issues, there's health issues. We have areas of the field that have no grass. We have exposed sprinkler heads. We have porta-johns that aren't the cleanest. We have goose droppings that football players get tackled in. They get cuts. They have those things. We have soccer players that slide tackle, and we have to replace uniforms due to these things. As I travel around coaching in Rhode Island and out of state, I've seen so many fields, beautiful complexes, that, and most of the time now when I'm traveling, I'm with my son who plays for GPS soccer, and some of the facilities that these individuals play at, and the rents that these fields fetch. And so when we talk about, you know, the weekends, the summer, these things never stop. And the people that I've talked to, you know, the revenue that comes in is amazing. So, you know, I've been here since 5 o'clock listening to people talk about this, but it is true. I know I just heard of a private school that is going to lease out to a premier soccer club $90,000 to $100,000 for 12 hours a week. So it is a revenue source, and it's something that, you know, and I'm kind of speaking to the voters now, because I know that they're going to need to understand that they're going to have to empathize with the kids and look and say, okay, the voter that doesn't have a child in school, a voter that doesn't have a grandchild in school, you have to understand that this is going to raise your property tax. It's going to do great things for you personally. The other thing is we need to understand is parents send their kids where they want to, and now it's even easier. So before they'd have to go to a private school or whatever, and now with pathways. So I call it the P and P effect, and it's the pathway and the private. So they have options. When we look at sports and what kids are doing, kids are actually making athletic packs with themselves and saying, okay, we're all going to go to this school. We're all going to do that and play sports. Even though the Interscholastic League says, you know, that this doesn't happen or whatever, everyone's turning away from it, saying it doesn't happen. You have $3.2 million that say it is happening, and we're allowing it to happen, and it's bleeding, and we're continue to let it bleed unless we do something. And I'm glad that the council, again, is having this conversation and taking these steps. My son practices at Narragansett High School. They have an 8-lane track, so they can attract the New England's youth, you know, Olympics, the Junior Olympics, all different things for track. They have tennis courts. They have outdoor bathrooms, and they have a state-of-the-art football field, soccer, lacrosse, field hockey. And they have 400 kids in their school. So when we're talking to the voters, I just urge them all, again, to just imagine, if they don't have kids, this is really hard to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. I get it. Their kids are grown or whatever. But just imagine if it was your kid out there running around, playing on an unsafe field, having other teams come in and ridicule them. And so I get all your concerns about being responsible with money, but not doing anything for these kids is irresponsible as well. So I like the fact that you're going up to $10 million or whatever was in there and leaving it up to the voters. Let them vote. And I think this is definitely something that needs attention. It's far overdue. 27 years I've been coaching in Warwick, and this is clearly the worst the fields have looked because we've neglected them. It's not, you know, the school department can only do so much. As far as the custodians, they can only fertilize what they can. They can only put water down when they can. They can only line when they can. So I'm not here to blame anybody. I just want a solution because these kids are awesome kids. They're awesome athletes. I want them staying here in Warwick, and I hope you do too. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Just identify yourself for the record, please.
Darlene Netko, lifelong resident of Warwick, homeowner, taxpayer, teacher of 32 years, 30 years in this district, president of the Warwick Teachers Union. I played a number of sports when I was a student at Tollgate High School. One was field hockey, so I had to walk over to CCRI, you know, to play field hockey. We still have to do that. We didn't have a football field until my senior year at Tollgate. I was in the band, and prior to that, we had to take a bus to play our home games at Vets. Obviously, the fields are an issue, you know, whose time is long overdue, but the whole school department has been a victim of deferred maintenance over the years. The city and the schools have not worked well together over the years. This particular school committee, this particular city council, and the administration now have been working together, at least over the past year, year and a half, and that is very encouraging. The fact that we have a second bond here that you're going to vote on is very encouraging. The fact that you want to add money for fields is very encouraging. I listened to all the city council people, and everyone has made excellent points. I know you don't want to, I know some of you are looking for a set amount of money, but as somebody pointed out, it's not the same thing as an actual bid in front of you right now. You're putting it up to the voters. We want up to $10 million to use on fields. After the results of the planner come in and we can see the choices and the options and we can vote on them and decide where the fields, maybe new fields will go. Maybe a new school needs to be built next to Pilgrim. And then you'll tear Pilgrim down and put new fields in the way other districts do. Maybe both Pilgrim and Tollgate need some extensive renovations. I've said it before, and my apologies if that person, you know, hears this, but whoever designed Tollgate was on serious hallucinogens. Made no sense. It makes no sense. I know there's a lot of ledge up there. We are building, the district is building an little entranceway now because our main office is on the second floor of the building and people enter into an empty hallway. That is a project whose time is long overdue, much like everything else. But I know Mr. Gothberg and Mr. Ferrucci have been working diligently on putting together the document that they have put in front of you tonight regarding the almost 56 million, the 59 million. And I know that the council people who have proposed an extra bond of up to $10 million for fields. They're putting, you know, their hearts in the right place. I think Mr. Flanders was correct. We have to do what is best for the children in this city and for the city as a whole. Maybe people who don't have kids or don't have grandkids or aren't involved in the schools at all might not see a benefit, but they will. The benefit is in your property values going up. More people moving into the city, younger families moving into the city, revitalizing the city. And the revitalization starts with the schools and the children in the city. And those of us who are on the school committee or a teacher or a coach or a member of the administration all want what is best for the kids in the city, as do the parents and hopefully all taxpayers, whether they have children or not. So if these bonds go up in front of the voters in the fall, as Mr. Flanders said, I agree with him. I hope that the voters of the city will vote for the future of the children in the city and vote for those bonds. And your responsibility right now is to put those bonds in front of the city for a vote. Thanks.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
If I may. If you saw me get up a few moments ago, it's because I went and spoke with the administration for the school department, spoke with the chair, spoke with the administration, be the chief of staff for the mayor's office. So I have a proposal to make sure we don't endanger the $56 million, but that we also make sure we have assurances that we're going to get the fields. So at the end of this meeting, I'll docket the $10 million, up to $10 million for the fields tonight. That way, there's no ambiguity, there's no maybes, and no, it's never going to happen. It'll be done. The $56 million bond will not be endangered in any way, as Mr. Ferrucci repeatedly pointed out, because if we stand to combine them, which has been proposed by a few of you, we risk the entirety of it. So instead, we have it be separate, we get everything we want, because I know you mentioned how do we get it all. That's how we get it all. We get both, without issue, without risk to either of them.
So if I could, through the chair, so you would docket something and that would come up for a vote on the $10 million March, if you docket it tonight?
If I'm not mistaken, that's at the pleasure of the council president when it first comes up, because
no,
in theory,
it comes up the first meeting in March if you were to docket it tonight.
Unless it was,
and I'm assuming everybody here would co-sponsor it.
That was my thoughts as well, but if we have it docketed as, well, first meeting in March would be more than sufficient time-wise, so there's no reason to belabor it.
I don't have an objection with that. I don't know how my colleagues feel, but if everybody's going to co-sponsor something for the fields, that'd be great.
So, Mr. President, what is prohibiting us from doing it under unanimous consent at the second meeting in February? We don't need to go out to the first meeting in March. Why can't we do it under unanimous consent at the next meeting?
Mr. Chair,
I asked the Council President.
I'm aware of the answer, though.
I think I don't want to speak for everyone, but I think the concern was to give an appropriate amount of time to give the school department to get a number. I think if I was listening to Councilman McAllister and Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Sinapi, if we could give them 3 or 4 weeks to March, they'll feel a lot more comfortable with whatever that number is.
Council President's absolutely
and that
correct.
Would give us time to get it on the ballot for the fall. And if we're all co-sponsoring it, that'd be wonderful. I don't think it would endanger us not getting the money, and I can appreciate what the chair is saying, because we want to push this as fast as possible, but it'd be great to have a unanimous decision on that for the kids. So with that said, I wouldn't have an objection to co-sponsoring that with you, Councilman Sinapi, and putting it on for the first meeting in March, with the understanding that Mr. Ferrucci, you'd be able to get the numbers to us. So I'm getting 2 yeses, 3 yeses. Okay, 3 yeses. Sounds good to me.
So at the end of the day, we're at that spot that I mentioned about an hour ago of doing both things, not jeopardizing the $56 million and coming up with a bond to present to the voters for up to $10 million in spending authority for the fields. This is, I think, essentially what I had said about an hour or so ago, and that's fine. And I asked the question, how do we do it? And thank you, Councilman Sinapi, for reaching out to whoever you reached out to figure out how we're going to do it. It's fine with me. I don't care who gets the credit. It's not what we're here for. What we're here for is to do the people's business. If someone else gets the credit for it, that's fine with me. So where we're at, and feel free to correct me, where we're at is right now we are going to entertain a motion to approve, or we're going to entertain a motion with regards to PCR 16-20. And once that is done, we'll move on to the rest of this evening's business. And during the docket resolution, is it fair to say that we will all nine of us sponsor the resolution for a $10 million bond? Is that fair to say?
Seems like a safe bet, Mr. Chair. Although, if I may, we do have to...
Eight of us, sorry. Okay, so my math, you guys know I'm no good with numbers. So it's fair to say that all eight of us will co-sponsor the bond for $10 million. Is that fair to say? Sounds it.
Mr. Chair, if I
Sir.
May, we do have to make sure to amend this bond to what the school department requested.
$56 million. We're working on it. Councilman McAllister, I don't mean to rush you, and I don't mean to belabor the issue, but before I do want to make a point of clarification. When I am making decisions
when we are listening and hearing from department heads, you betcha, we're going to have discussions if it's a $60 item or a $50 item, because that is immediate monies we are discussing and we are considering that affect the taxpayers. We are making that decision instantaneously. This decision is simply putting a suggestion and a spending authority to the voters. They're making the decision. We're not. We're simply extending to them the opportunity to decide whether they want to spend this money or not. What we're doing is putting in a recommended spending authority. Big difference. Councilman McAllister, I'm done for right now.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion on PCR 16-20. I would like to amend the amount that's before us. Currently, it's $59,350,000. I want to make it $56 million at behest of the school committee and the school administration, and I would move favorable action on that.
You want a second?
I would like a second.
I will second that. We have a motion on the floor to amend PCR 16-20 to reflect $56 million, and that is in 4 locations. Okay. It'll be in 4 locations. It's going to change $59,350,000 to $56 million. And it's in 4 locations. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Move as amended.
I move favorable as amended.
We have a motion for favorable action as amended. I will second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. The time is 9:58, and the Finance Committee is adjourned.
Could I have the department heads come up to the Council President's desk that are going to give presentations tonight? Dan, I think if I could have you come up too.
I call the Ordinance Committee at 10:05. I need the acceptance of the minutes for the January 6th meeting. Do I have favorable action on that? So moved. Moved and second. All those in favor? Aye. Thank you. First off is PCO 10-19, an ordinance in regards to water discharge. This is for first passage. It's not drafted. Councilwoman Travis and Councilman Lattiser. Any preference to hold? It's not drafted. Okay. Hold for 1 month, which would be the March 9th. I'll make the motion to hold to March 9th on behalf of the sponsor. Do I have a second? Second. It's second. All those in favor? Aye. Thank you. Next up is PCO 1-20, an ordinance in regards to no parking signs to be erected on the north side of Hull Street. This is Councilman Corley for first passage. Councilman Corley. Thank you very much, Councilman Corley. As you mentioned, that this is a issue that has a traffic study that goes along with your recommendation. Do we have any questions for members of the committee? Any questions for members of the council? Any questions for members of the public? Any questions for members of the public? If not, would you like to make a motion, Councilman Corley? We have it's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you very much. Last is PCO 2-20, an ordinance relative to forming a commission to establish LED signage guidelines. Councilman Lattiser, this is not drafted. What's your pleasure? I'll make a motion on behalf of the sponsor to hold to March 23rd. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved in second. All those in favor? Aye. Thank you. Hold on 1 second. I close the Ordinance Committee at 10:11.
So Public Safety will convene at 10:11 p.m. First thing we have, acceptance of minutes from the January 22nd, 2020 meeting. Do we have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next we have claims. First we have the claim of Raymond Regusta. This one we had indicated we had planned on denying it, but we had to wait till he got his letter of denial or letter saying that we were going to likely deny it and giving him the opportunity to attend. And to the clerk, did he get that letter?
Yeah. Walden, he said that he's unable to make it. He can't come to the meetings because of his work.
And then the prior correspondence, he had indicated he didn't actually care one way or another whether or not this passed. Oh, good call. Oh, you're welcome. I jumped to number 5. It was the first one. Habit.
It's the first one in the binder.
Well, while we're here.
Understood.
All right, so given that denial was recommended and that even the claimant himself agreed that everything that occurred was correct and proper, he's been given his opportunity to attend. He's indicated he's unable, but also that he's indifferent to whether or not this gets approved. Entertain a motion one way or another.
Move to deny.
Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Before taking the vote, if you could make sure there's any opportunity for any input of the public.
It's probably a good call. Any other members of the council wish to speak?
Public.
That's important. All right, so as of now, it's been discussed that the claimant, Mr. Raymond Regusta, so he's PCR 190-19. We had indicated we planned on denying this, and we gave him the opportunity to attend. He says he's unable to attend this meeting or any meeting, apparently. However, he's indicated he's ambivalent to whether or not his claim is approved. The fire department indicated that the property damage that occurred was not their fault in the least, and the claimant actually concurs. So given that, again, the claimant's ambivalent, he's been given the opportunity to attend per the new rules we established, and that denial was recommended by the fire chief, given the stance of the fire department and the stance of the claimant.
And what's that PCR again, Chairman?
PCR 190-19.
Thank you.
So before we jump to the motion, so this goes to the council if anyone has any comments on it, questions, concerns, queries.
I don't think, Mr. Chairman, you asked him to come like how many months now?
Repeatedly, but in his defense, he hadn't gotten the letter with the specific wording that's required by our new rules up until recently. So that wasn't his fault, although that being said, he has already indicated for some months now that he was indifferent to how this shook out anyway. So it was the only reason why it's still here, honestly, is because of us, because we wanted to have strict compliance with our new rules on this regard.
Are you denying it now?
We planned to, but we were taking questions, comments, or concerns from the council first, and then any questions, comments, or concerns from the general public. Going once, going twice. So now back to the motion.
Move for unfavorable action.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So the next is the claim of Susan Paris. Approval has been recommended in the amount of $300 due to a pothole that was hit on 55 Cedar Ridge Trail. Well, claimant resides on 55 Cedar Ridge Trail. I apologize. Pothole was hit off of Jefferson Boulevard. Claimant properly filled out her affidavit and has provided the three estimates, actually four estimates in this case. The damage, well, one of the invoices is actually for damage as high as over 1,000. However, we're capped at 300 anyway. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Seeing none, we can entertain a motion.
Move favorable action in the amount of $300.
Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have the claim of Lisa Ziegler. My apologies for butchering the pronunciation.
Approval. Mr. Chairman, this is the same pothole, I believe.
Oh, lovely.
Ward 2.
Gift that keeps on giving. All right, so the affidavit has been filled out correctly. Three estimates were provided. Approval was recommended in the amount of $300, which is actually below all three estimates provided. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Seeing none, we can entertain a motion.
Move favorable action in the amount of $300.
Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have the claim of Mary McGann. She's provided three estimates. However, denial was recommended. Oh, I skipped one. We have the claim of Francis Parenti, provided three estimates, all well exceeding $300, again on Service Road. Approval was recommended for the amount of $300. The affidavit is filled out correctly. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? It's a good question.
According to some of the paperwork that was filed, it appears that shortly after the last two in time, which were, I believe, on consecutive days, it was taken care of. It appears to have been taken care of around December 12th, 2019, if my memory serves and if I read this all correctly.
Any questions from members of the public? Nope. Councilman Lattiser?
Just to point out also, the first claim, which would have been brought to the attention of the city, was on November 1st. So there was over a month that went by with obviously additional potholes not being filled.
Any further questions or statements from members of the council? Anything from members of the public? Seeing none, we can entertain a motion.
Move favorable action in the amount of $300.
Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, now we have the claim of Mary McGann. Three estimates were provided, all well exceeding $300. However, denial was recommended as the claimant's vehicle, apparently the damage occurred while construction was being performed by a private entity who is in fact responsible rather than the city. And there's actually a reference for who the claim should be referred to. The affidavit was not filled out correctly, based on looking at it, at least not in the way we're accustomed to.
Oh. Mr. Chairman, I would briefly state that my understanding of how the affidavit was filled out, it appears that the claimant, while receiving lower estimates from two other possible providers, although it is unclear from the documentation whether those two other estimates actually include all necessary work. In any event, her invoice was in the amount of $840.81. She was apparently reimbursed by her insurer in the amount of $341.81, which would lead me to believe that there's a $500 or $499 deductible, and it would be unclear if we were to entertain approving this claim. It would appear to me that it may be proper to approve in some amount, as clearly the insurance company simply would not be receiving that money, and I believe that that is the purpose of the second option. But in any event, I don't believe that that is relevant at this current point in time because of this private entity's involvement. And from speaking with the DPW director earlier, the DPW director clarified to me that the work by this private entity involved the natural gas lines on the road. Hence, it's not simply work that's being done adjacent to the road, but on the road itself, and that at that point in time, this private entity had control over the road exclusively, and therefore is responsible, rather than the city of Warwick being responsible. Therefore, I believe that I would concur with the department's recommendation of denial of the claim and encourage, I suppose informally encourage, the claimant to seek compensation from the private entity as referred to.
All right, are there any questions or comments from members of the council? Members of the public? Seeing none, is it the will of the committee that we're going to offer a denial?
Correct.
All right, so that means the claimant has to be provided the same letter that Mr. Regusta was provided before we can actually formally move for unfavorable action. So for now, we have to hold this until the next meeting. And that means we need a PCR as well. So this becomes PCR 21-20, and we have to do a motion to hold.
Move to hold to February 24.
Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have Brittany Carpenter. Three estimates were provided. Approval was recommended in the amount of $213.19. Affidavit appears to be filled out correctly.
Everything seems to be in order.
Any questions or comments from members of the committee? Any questions or comments from members of the council? Members of the public? Seeing none.
Move favorable action in the amount of $213.19.
Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have PCO 25-19, sub A, ordinance in regards to no parking between signs either side be erected from the southeast corner of Cadora and Greenwich until pole number 3. Second passage, and that's mine. It speaks for itself. Seeking second passage. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Members of the public? Seeing none.
Move favorable action for second passage.
Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have PCO 24-19, ordinance in regards to one-way traffic on Alice Avenue. Councilman McAllister, is this the one to hold?
Move to hold to March 9th.
Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have PCO 28-19, ordinance in regards to no parking between signs in front of 301 West Shore Road on Sundays from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Councilman McElroy? Not drafted. Yep.
in March.
Move to hold to March 23rd.
Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Resolution relative to traffic studies, PCR 6-20. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Members of the public? And for those who don't know, this is the pretty much yearly resolution we pass in regards to traffic studies, just enabling us to have them done. So, see no questions or comments, entertain a motion.
Move favorable action.
Second it, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And PCO 4-20, an ordinance relative to the installation of traffic control signs. Councilman Lattiser.
To install signage that we approve once a traffic study has been done, recommending favorable on that. There has been, at least in my ward, some rather lengthy delays on getting these signs installed after we get the traffic study done and after the city council approves that. I feel that a 30-day window from the time it's approved gives the department plenty of time to erect a sign and have it installed. And that's why I'm asking for favorable action on PCO 4-20.
So just so you know, by the wording of this ordinance as it's written now, it says as approved by the Warwick Police Department or the City Council. So that would suggest that with the traffic study with the Warwick Police Department where they recommend XYZ occur, that then DPW would be required to follow through within 30 days
to put in the sign. That's because not all signage requires a traffic study. You can put in a crosswalk sign. You can put in a slow sign. You can have, utilities. You can have a blind person. Those don't require traffic studies. So some of them can be done simply with the council action, and such as stop signs, that requires a traffic study.
Right, I get that, and what you're saying makes sense, but my point is that right now the Warwick Police Department, by the wording here, could on its own accord put up signage, which is what the confusing part is, because it's an or.
So it says the Department of Public Works shall install all signs and signals as approved by the Warwick Police Department or the City Council within a 30-day period of said approval. It should actually say, it should reference a traffic study on behalf of the police department. Not that the police department can just arbitrarily go ahead and have a sign installed. The intent is after a traffic study has been approved that the sign will be installed within 30 days.
Probably punt to the solicitor on this one.
So look to legal counsel for housekeeping on it.
If I may, I would also add that not all signs or signals would necessarily require a traffic study.
Correct.
So I think that the original language, the simplest way to improve upon it so as to make clear that the approval of a traffic study that's intended for the City Council to take action upon would not itself trigger the change in signage would be to simply add the words as applicable. So let's see, I'm looking at the underlined sentence, which would be the change to section 76-14. It currently states, the Department of Public Works shall install all signs and signals as approved by the Warwick Police Department or the City Council within 30 days of said approval. And my suggested amendment would have it read instead, the Department of Public Works shall install all signs and signals as approved by the Warwick Police Department or the City Council as applicable within 30 days of said approval.
as legal counsel have suggested quite wisely, given the time and given that some of the things on the docket tonight have to be approved, like the bond issue, you suggested that we possibly hold this so that way we fine-tune the language, because as you notice, the department has ready to speak on this, and this likely is not going to be the shortest of things to handle. So if it would be acceptable for the sponsor, if we could just hold this to the next meeting.
I've been waiting this long. We can hold it till the next meeting. That's fine.
And then we can make sure, too, that the language, there's no issues. Because while the suggestion from Councilman Ricks actually seems perfectly reasonable to me, that way at least legal counsel can have at it.
Okay. So we'll hold, I request that you hold till February 24th.
Hold to February 24th as requested by the sponsor.
Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We have PCO 10-20, a resolution relative to the installation of a crosswalk in the vicinity of 333 Sandy Lane. Councilman Lattiser.
I'll hold that until February 24th as well. Actually, hold on. Before I make the motion to hold, I'd like to have the director come to the mic on this one, please.
Any questions from members of the committee?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So, director, and I don't have the dates in front of me, but it's probably goes back to, I think, early or middle of November. I had held a meeting at that particular location, which is at St. Kevin's Church, and there was a police officer there to do a traffic study. I had a couple of my constituents there. One of them is a senior citizen who is legally blind. Father Marciano was also present. We viewed the area. It was determined that, in fact, it was dangerous for my constituents that live on that side of the street at that particular area to be crossing the road to attend service at the church, funerals, mass, et cetera, et cetera. The police study was approved, and from there it came here, and the item was approved to install a crosswalk. This is another issue that I had sent you numerous emails asking that that crosswalk get installed. I asked for it to be installed before the weather turned. I stressed the issue of the safety factor, particularly with respect to my seniors that live across the street, one who is a legally blind individual. I also included a letter from Father Marciano requesting that crosswalk and stating the need to have that crosswalk installed. I realize that weather can be an issue with installing these crosswalks, and that's why I had made sure it got to you immediately, and that's why I had sent over numerous requests to have it done. And the weather was certainly indicative of doing so, because it was still quite mild. I did not hear anything from you, no reply from you, no reasoning why it couldn't be done, wasn't done, maybe it'll be done, nothing, no communication. So as a result of that, I docketed the resolution to formally again request that this crosswalk be put installed for the safety of my constituents that live across the street and anyone else that wants to cross the road from that particular point. So I'm curious to hear what you have to say with regard to the rationale why it has not been done. I think the mic's off.
public works director for the city of Warwick. So, Councilman, I'm standing here listening to you, and you're stating that there's a blind person that lives across the street from St. Kevin's, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So that blind person would need to cross Sandy Lane at approximately 333 Sandy Lane?
That's what it says.
Okay. And so
I said legally blind.
Legally blind. So Officer Johnson of the Warwick Police Department conducted a study on November 12th or 13th, thereabouts, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's right? Correct.
So I'm in favor of putting a crosswalk in there. What I'm not in favor of is I need to make that ADA compliant. I cannot just put stripes on the ground. How would a blind person or a handicapped person access and egress off the curb? That takes money, that takes planning, that takes engineering, none of which I have.
You know what it takes, Director?
Yes, sir.
It takes you to either reply to my email or to pick up the phone and give me the reasons why it can't be done. Silence is not a reason. That is not an answer.
Again,
I don't
again,
get any excuse me, let me finish.
Mayor Solomon.
Yeah, I
do not
okay.
work for
so
the
I understand
city
you take your marching orders from Mayor Solomon. I understand that.
Not marching orders. That's who I report to.
Correct.
And as such, I could read the ordinance again or the article that states he will administer the work. And he is
and who is going to administer the courtesy of replying to an elected official's request? I simply asked you via email, several emails, and if anyone wants to see these emails, I have some of these emails right here in this file that you're welcome to look at that have gone unanswered. I simply asked you about installing that crosswalk. Now,
it's not,
excuse me.
It's not as simple as installing a crosswalk.
I understand it's not as but what
well,
it is as simple
if you
of.
You know that it's not that simple. How can you come up here?
No, I know it now because you told me. I didn't know anything about any sidewalk. It was nothing in the police report.
You stated
there was nothing in the police report that indicated anything about a curb cut.
The police.
There was no communication from you or anyone in your department or the mayor's office saying that this required a curb. Councilman, listen. We got the police study. We understand. We support doing the crosswalk. We want to protect the citizens, not just this one individual who's legally blind, but the seniors that are quite capable of walking across the street and stepping off a curb. But here's what we need to do. We need to do a curb cut. We need to have it ADA compliant. There is another crosswalk, a couple hundred feet down the street from there. Director, that's all it would have taken was the courtesy of a reply to one of my several emails asking for this to be done. And once this was said, we got to do a curb cut. We got to have it ADA compliant. Okay, fine. I get it. But that isn't what is happening. And I understand what you said. The mayor's your boss. You work for the mayor. I get it. I respect that. But I also expect the courtesy of a reply as an elected official when I communicate with a department head.
Correct. And your communication.
And I'm not getting it.
Your communication should come from, like it does with everyone else, who the council liaison. So
we're talking about, what you read off, statutes, et cetera.
Yes.
So where does it say in the charter? Or where does it say in the ordinances, or where does it say in the council rules and regs that as an elected official, I cannot send, or I'm prohibited from sending a request to a department head?
Councilman Lattiser, just if I may, one, questions have to come through the chair. Two, I know you want to ask these things, and I get it. I'm not trying to not let you ask him, but we are on a timetable, and if we
Fine.
Hold it, you can still
you know what?
Ask
With
all
respect
the
to the timetable,
time.
Let's move this item to February 24th, okay?
Got it.
And as you get to my other items, we'll take them one at a time.
Before I make that motion, I'll just briefly, unless someone does have a question or comment to the chair.
All right, we got to do the greater than usual. So I'm going to withhold my comments till next time. I got plenty to say, but we don't have time. So does anyone else on the council have anything to say? Members of the public? All right, seeing none.
Move to hold.
Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Last, we have PCR 12-20, a resolution relative to the installation of a street sign at Lenox Avenue and Warwick Neck Avenue. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Simple, I don't need the director to come to the mic. This was the street sign at Lenox Avenue is right outside of Warwick Neck School. The sign was basically bent over by a school bus. This was probably 6 or 7 months ago. And for the past 3 or 4 months, I've been trying to get that sign put up. It's a simple sign. The sign was there. The pipe was there. It was damaged. It was removed by somebody. And I'm just simply asking for the sign to be put back up to identify Lenox Avenue. This is a public school. This is where kids are. This is where people go to find this building if they've not been there before. That's all. Simple. Put up the damn sign. Hold the march till February 24th.
Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Glenn, are we good? We got other ones hiding? Yep. And we also have acceptance of minutes for the claims docket, January 6, 2020.
Move to accept.
Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public safety concludes at 10:44.
Okay, this is the Intergovernmental Committee beginning at 9:40. Oh, 10:45. First item of business is the acceptance of the minutes from the committee, the committee meeting on January 22nd.
I move acceptance of the meetings.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
No, they're gone.
First item on the agenda after the minutes is the PCR 196-19, a resolution to the General Assembly for additional funding for Warwick Public Schools, not drafted. President Marola. Resolution for funding for Warwick Public Schools, not drafted. I would move that we hold it to March 9th.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Next is PCO-3-20 and ordinance amending Chapter 2, Article 1.
Hold February 24th.
It's on for first passage.
Hold February 24th.
At the request of the sponsor, we will hold it till February 24th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
PCR 14-20, a resolution by the Warwick City Council urging the governor not to raise the amount of veteran pay to live in the Rhode Island Veterans Home. Not drafted. It's Councilman Howe. We will, since he's not here, I will move that we hold it to February 24th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The intergovernmental meeting will end at 10:47.
Jeremy, you're up.
The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 10:48 p.m. First, acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on January 22nd, 2019.
I move acceptance.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Item 1 on the agenda, PCR 182-19, resolution regarding lease Cooper Building. Councilman Lattiser.
Hold February 24th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Second item, PCR 7-20 omnibus resolution of congratulations and condolences. It says not drafted, but I think I saw a draft.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, given that it was posted as not drafted, I recommend the committee just hold it to the next meeting.
All right.
Move that we hold it to February 24th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Third. PCO 5-20, an ordinance in regards to amending the stipulation imposed on the Cumberland Farms development on 87 West Natick Road. Councilman Snappy for first passage.
Looking for favorable action. The Neighborhood Association has no objection to this. It creates some additional jobs for the city. The police department hasn't had no issues with this particular gas station, and their other gas stations in the city are also without problems, despite being 24 hours. So. Move for favorable action.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This obviously is a ward issue. So on a ward issue, I don't have a problem with it. If the councilman is fine with it and his constituents are fine with it, doesn't bother me none. However, what does concern me is variances by the zoning board, planning, et cetera, and stipulations were given when this particular approval was done. And I have several in my ward as well that various stipulations were provided. You can't have X something higher than this, it can't be closer than that, it can't be lit, it can't do this, can't do that. And the entities are, you know, everybody's all fine, and yes, absolutely, we'll do it. The problem is there is no monitoring these after the fact. So I think we can all go through our wards and see variances and approvals that were given with stipulations, and those stipulations all go by the wayside. Nobody's monitoring it. We don't have anyone out there taking care of this, say, okay, you know, is that doing what they're supposed to do and what was approved? So the only concern I have with this is this going to create a rippling effect where everyone who has certain variances and certain stipulations to be able to open up a business, build a house, do an addition, you know, whatever, is this all of a sudden going to open up the floodgates for, well, you know what, we can always go back and get a second bite at the apple. That's my concern with it. And from my ward perspective, if this is a condition and a stipulation and a consideration, yeah, it's going to be something I'm going to look at, you know, very strongly, because I just think it's establishing a precedence for what could come to be in the future. I'm not, by the way, I'm not going to vote against this, be it is a ward issue, but if it occurs in my ward, I'll be dealing with it as a ward issue.
My thought process is that it really is a case-by-case matter, certainly a ward-by-ward matter, but moreover a case-by-case matter, and I think that where a particular business or other entity, other property holder comes forward, they are drawing attention and scrutiny to themselves. So I think that the process that we have here with the city council, and especially with the particular city councilor representing the ward that the property happens to be in, and having that desire to speak with constituents and make sure that there is no issue with the proposal that the property holder desires, is an effective process in dealing with these issues. Any other questions from members of the committee or council?
I have a question for the sponsor. In reading this, I am just questioning the, it says the business shall be allowed to operate 24 hours a day subject to the Board of Safety approval. Does that mean that this has already been before the Board of Public Safety? And since it's a zoning ordinance, doesn't the zoning board have to act on it?
So this was an issue that came up before this got here tonight, where we made sure that it was coming to the correct location prior. The reason why it says subject to public Board of Public Safety approval is because that's how it is for all these. When you have the 24-hour license, they just wanted to make it consistent. And bear in mind, every year this license has to be reviewed. It's not a forever thing as far as a check and balance. So you can't just say it's open 24 hours a day forever, because in fact it's not necessarily, because the Board of Public Safety, when it comes time to re-up, might say, nah, we're done with this for XYZ reasons.
So has there already been previous action by the Board of Public Safety and the Zoning Board to allow them to be operating 24 hours? That's my question, I guess.
I truthfully don't know the answer to that one way or another. I do know that they won't be operating 24 hours a day without Board of Public Safety approval.
Any other questions from members of this committee or members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
I would move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And the City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs adjourns at 10:55 p.m.